G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. Again, I'm interviewing someone that I interviewed a few months back. I'm just getting back in the groove of things. After a Christmas break, I want to talk to people that I know are going to be fun and I know are going to be funny. And this person fits into that mold quite well. It's So from Betty Taylor. How are you going?
Hello, I'm good.
Now, the last time I had you on was for Fuck You. We were both having a drink and it was a Friday afternoon. We both didn't want to do it, but we got through it.
We got through it. We did the thing.
But the last one felt like I was your therapist the whole time, and I felt like we made some really good breakthroughs, and I got you on because I love the new song, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But how do you feel like this one's going to go? I didn't get any money for the last one, so I don't know if you're up for another freebie.
Hopefully it goes better. Hopefully you hope that every new thing you put out is better than the last, but you know, times are tough.
Now, straight after that pod last year, might have been the next week, you guys got put on Big Sound, and I cannot speak highly of Big Sound.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
I know, right? And I got to see you, I think, twice, which was awesome. Like, you guys are still pretty new to the scene and, you know,
yeah,
a couple songs and whatnot, and going to Big Sound's a big deal. What'd you take from it?
I mean, we were really lucky to be. We were, I guess, shortlisted and got the call up last minute, which was really exciting. Honestly, it was just amazing. It was an amazing week as an artist to attend. I mean, even if you're not playing, I would recommend going. We met so many people in the industry and just people from other bands, and just made some really good friends because everyone's in the same boat. So if you're playing or not playing, I'd recommend going this year because you'll just meet so many people, and a lot of people will be in the same boat as you, and you'll be able to find a lot of common ground. And it's nice to know that, like, your experience in the industry is, like, pretty much the same for everyone. Everyone's like, oh, yes, this is difficult but really fun, and that's why we do it.
You've all got the same list. You're just ticking different things at different times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
Also, Big Sound is awesome that you just get to see live music from all over the country and have a few drinks with your mates. They also happen to be in bands.
Unreal stuff and, like, really whack stuff. There was I can't remember if it was 20 or like 40 piece metal jazz band. It was whack. It was so cool, right? And I'd never stumble upon that in my normal day-to-day life, so it was rad.
No, definitely not. Were you taking notes when you were watching other bands, or were you just kind of taking in the experience and going, fuck, these guys are really good? Or like,
I think we're always taking notes when we see other bands play there, and just all the time you're like, oh, that's sick, we should do that. See how he got on that other guy's shoulders? We should hit the gym so we can play guitar on top of each other. It'll be crazy.
As I said, last time I spoke to you was for Fuck You. And was that the third track that you guys have had out?
Yeah.
It didn't do as well as the previous two.
No. I think, like, online, that song was always going to be a hard one. Especially as a new band, like, we don't have a lot of reach to begin with. And I think that song probably would have hit better a little further down the career. But personally, it was just a song I really wanted to get out there and have done. And I think it'll be one that catches on later, you know?
I mean, any song that has a swear word in it, I will champion that bad boy.
You and not the rest of the online services. But it was a hard one, you know. The title's impossible. I think you've got to be logged in and over 18 to even watch the film clip on YouTube.
Oh, it's really?
Yeah. So frustrating. But it's cool. It's one that we love playing live, and the core fans get around it. So
walk me through that mindset. Like, obviously, going through release day, and you've had two really successful songs for a band that's, you know, first two releases. Coming into the fourth release, how is it when you've had a third song that didn't do as well as the first two, but then you did the first two that, you know, kind of showed that you guys do have the potential? Is it like, you know, kind of going ego and then kind of bringing that down back to earth a little bit?
Honestly, I didn't even expect any of our songs to do well at all. I'm really, truly just out here doing it while I can for as long as I can and just having as much fun with it as I possibly can. And Our goals for that first single, Stalling, was pretty low. I think we had, like, the achievement of, like, getting 10,000 listened. And, like, we hit that mark, and I was like, this is the best thing ever, and I can die happy. And I think it's almost at, like, 300,000 now. That one just keeps ticking. But even the fact, I don't know, I'm, like, just really grateful to be even playing music and doing music. So anything that I put out, I'm just, like, stoked on.
So, as you said, it's Stolen is almost at 300K. What do those milestones mean to you?
I don't know. They're like pretty. I never thought I'd do music as a job at all. I was just working in a bar, and then COVID happened, and I found myself really bored on a Wednesday night. So I started going to open mics, and then I started singing at them. So I think it's just insane that I get to even be a part of this industry and do it and have people or be able to write songs about my life and have people be able to relate to them. Yeah, I don't know. It's all just, I'm just kicking goals. It's all goals being kicked.
Now, I don't know where I read it. I don't know if you put it on TikTok or Insta or something, but I was really worried about you with this new song, Can't Get Enough, because is this song about a different boy?
No, this song's about an imaginary person. That doesn't exist.
I was going to say, are you singing about a different boy and it's not about a big fuck you to this person? Are you feeling okay, Sof?
I know. No, we got in the co-write session with Aiden Hogg, who's done many amazing things. He's recently done G Flip's album, which freaking slayed.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just hanging out and we were recording another song that was a bit more neggy.
That's so unlike you.
I know, crazy. And we started doing the music for that, and I was just kind of thinking of lyrics, and it started off pretty positive and started to head in towards like a negative direction.
No,
negative is reflective of my life. And he was like, why don't you just pretend just for this one, like, just we're writing a song together, let's just make it up, and just put yourself in a situation where, like, maybe things go well. So that's what I did. And we finished the song in a few hours, and at the end of it, I was just like, wow, like, my imaginary boyfriend is so nice. Just the sweetest. So
I remember at one of my favorite things that I was told at Big Sound was we were having a chat, and you were like, oh, mate, it's at Burning Man right now. There's
Yeah, he made it back. Kind of, he wouldn't have stopped there.
I thought that was so funny.
I think I said that on stage. Honestly,
Sam, you also did.
If you're listening out there, if you think I'm boring, I'm not. If you come to a show, very unhinged things come out of my mouth. Things that I forget about, like that.
And you said this. You said this on the first podcast, and I was like, oh, it's probably just, you know, a thing here or there. But nope, the whole show is you talking shit.
It's because I get nervous, and when I get nervous, I just shit chat, and it's like that in everyday life. But it's worse on stage because people are paying attention, and because you're not a part of a conversation, you're not talking to someone. So then you're just trying to fill silence, and it just, I don't know, some utter rubbish has come out of my mouth. But you have to be there to experience it.
Oh, definitely. I'll second that. Singing about an imaginary person, walk me through that process. What are, like, do you have to create a person in your head, give them the attributes that you want, or, like, is it just kind of the feeling of what that person would kind of give you in a relationship?
Yeah, I think on this one, like, I definitely do. Like, I've got friends that have, like, just the sweetest, loveliest boyfriends, and when they met, and they're talking to me like, blah, 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 did this and he did that. And I'm like, you're so in love. That's so sweet. And I think I just drew a lot of from those conversations and being like, how would have they felt? Like, how would have that situation played out? Probably like this. And, you know, I'm a sucker for a rom-com. I am a hopeless romantic. It's not my fault that my dating life has been so terrible. It's just, it's unfortunate. But I'm a romantic at heart, you know. I love love. So I like to write about it.
Even if it's negative, like, just somehow gets there. Like, that's so weird that songs do that with you.
I think I probably could have, like, written a nice love song, but I think then there's always the, like, well, I can't write about anything real because what if it goes bad? I'll just wait for it to go bad and then I'll just write about that. It's a lot easier to be vulnerable in that way than it is with real feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Theory.
I mean, good songs come out of it. And getting Triple J spots come out of it. like people go years without getting their first one. You guys have done that pretty quickly. So, and this isn't your first Triple J play. So like, how's that kind of traction when you get it on multiple songs go for you as a band mindset and their confidence?
It's definitely reassuring. It's nice to know that because the first song that we got on Triple J added to Spot Rotation was Glitter, which was almost a year ago now. So, I mean, Fuck You was the last one to come out, and that came out in July. So it's been a big gap. So it's kind of that fear of like, I hope we haven't been forgotten about. I hope they still like us. Yeah, it's just, it's nice. And sometimes it can be like a little deflating if you're an artist putting music out and you put it out in that, maybe that first week, it doesn't, because it's been like 2 weeks since it came out. You can get a bit like, oh shit, like we missed the window. But the window is wide. There's, you know, it's, I mean, thanks to like TikTok and things, there's songs that are blowing up years after they've been released. So don't be deflated by that. But yeah, we're really, yeah, we're stoked. It was cool. It's always cool.
I did a TikTok video where I was lip syncing, which I don't do very often. And I did like a Family Guy thing and I put 20 bands on it. And
I put
Betty Taylor on it. Did you read the comments?
No.
I think you guys were the most commented.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And it wasn't like, yes, oh yeah, Betty Taylor's cool.
Where are those people commenting on our stuff? Come to my TikTok. I get no likes. I get nothing.
I'll send them over. It's like they're like, oh my God, a Betty Taylor mention. And I was like, oh, and that was multiple people said that. But then I got, I also got like heaps of other people going, oh, you didn't mention so-and-so, you didn't mention so-and-so. It's like, there's more than 20 bands in Australia. I can't name them all. I'm very sorry.
Many. And we're all awesome.
I mean, this is also very true. But also another awesome thing that you got, getting on ABC News.
Crazy. I didn't even know that happened. I got an email from the Unearthed team that afternoon just being like, hey, just in case you missed it or like wanted to keep this video as a keepsake, like congratulations. And I was like, what the hell? And I texted my mom being like, Mom, I was on the news this morning. She's like, yeah, I know. Like I saw it.
Oh, cool.
I was like,
thanks
why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I just assumed you would have known. And I was like, no, like we never know about anything like that. We never know when, other than like if you're getting a premiere in Triple J, like you never know if they're going to play you, when they're going to play you. So anything like that's just like really exciting when people, like today, we got played today on like Mornings, which I love Lucy Smith. And my brother like sent me a video from the job site and I was like, oh, we're on. I'm at work being like, guys, I'm on the radio right now.
It would have been great if she didn't see it, because then you could be like, just create some bullshit news story about like.
Well, I sent it to my grandma. So Betty Taylor were named after my grandma, and I think
cool
in the
they
video
added that fact too. Yeah, they added
yeah.
That
but
fact.
The funny thing is, they were like, "Was the grandmother of Sophie?" And I texted at grandma, and grandma replied, "She's like, was I'm still alive."
That's funny. But like I saw that, and they did it for Dizzy Days the other day as well. I don't know. Is it an everyday thing?
One every morning. It's been cool. So awesome. Yeah, and Triple J have been really good at like posting. They post every day who's been getting played, and yeah, it's cool. It's good to see.
Such a good, easy addition that can just get to so many ears. I think it's one of the best things to be incorporated this year.
Absolutely, it's insane. It's such a like. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And you think about how many people watch that program. We did get a message, like Katie, our drummer, got a text from someone she knows being like, you're on the ABC this morning. And most of our ABC action has been from like local radio. So we were like, oh, cool, sweet. And then later that afternoon, I was like, oh, this is the ABC thing. We were on the telly. We were on the freaking telly on the national news.
Also, just them having, like, saying what song it is or whatever. And then the little fact, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's sweet. I've watched a few and, it's cool. It's really awesome. Good job, ABC.
Yeah.
Good job, Unearthed.
Love it. Releasing music at the moment, our music scene has been in better shape. At the moment, not great. What's the mindset when you're releasing music, when you see, like, festivals cancel and you see, like, people cancelling shows, like we've... my co-host just had to cancel our event because there's low ticket sales. Do you take any of that into consideration when like you might want to release music or you might want to put on shows or where you want to put on shows?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you always have to be thinking about it. It's a pretty terrifying thought, especially like we're so new into this industry and it's really only like after COVID, it was really only starting to rebuild and now it feels like it's kind of falling back a little bit again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's terrifying. It is. It's really scary because you're like, what if we like, well, like this year we really want to go do a headline show. But people just aren't spending money. Like I used to go to music every weekend. That's all I did.
Yep.
And I just like cannot afford it at the moment. And it's such a scary thought. And we have friends that come play and I always want to buy tickets and go support them and like buy merch and stuff. So, it's really amazing when people do come along and support you in that way. But like, it's also understandable that like not everyone can afford it. And it is scary with like Groovin getting canceled, for example. Like me and the whole band were keen to buy tickets. We were just like saving up. So it's hard when it's like they're really relying on those initial sales and then just like which is fair because that's pretty much how you gauge how it's going to sell. But
National Festival, mate.
I feel like the way people are spending is changing and a lot of the times like I'll buy tickets pretty last minute now. So yeah, planning shows, it's like you've got to be like, is this going to like, will it sell on the day? Will it be enough? You kind of just got to risk it a bit, I guess.
I mean, I've spoken about this so much about like Tixel and all that type of stuff and us being lazy and buying tickets. When you don't see the numbers doing well or like friends' numbers doing well for tickets and you see those cancellations, does it make you kind of second guess doing gigging as much in general and just focusing more on releases?
We've been pretty fortunate in that, like, our last headline tour we did, which was our only headline tour, was back in May when Glitter came out, and it went really well. We've been pretty lucky that we've been banking a lot of larger supports, and we've got some pretty cool ones. I don't think I can say who they are, but we've got some really cool ones coming out, which I feel like they're bands that I would, like, be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to go see that. And I feel pretty confident that they're going to sell well. So it's we're really lucky that we're in a position to be able to, like, kind of tag along and ride the coattails of others' success for a little bit for the time being. But, yeah, it is scary. Like, we are booking a headline tour, hopefully, for the middle of the year when our EP drops. And it's just like, I really hope people come. I really hope people come to the show. Like, we probably won't do a massive tour, just like the main cities, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, because that's where the action is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely scary. Music's scary.
So I have seen you guys on a lot of the support slots, which is also great to, you know, build audience and kind of experience all that type of stuff. But is there, you kind of mentioned it before, but is a big factor of that just because it's safer to go as a support under acts that are, you know, you think are going to sell?
I mean, yeah, probably. But I think we're still just at a point, like we are a really fresh band. We've only been playing together for just over 2 years, which I do often remind myself, I'm like, we're actually really far ahead of where we should be. Really. Once again, going back to just like everything we get to do, I'm like incredibly grateful to do. And even if we book headline shows and maybe they don't sell so well, like I'm doing music and I'm booking a headline show. Like that's still crazy to me. So yeah, we're definitely like just riding the wave.
Which is so fair.
And I try not to think too much about it. That's why we have a manager. They overthink. They do all the planning and then we just get to enjoy it and be like, woohoo, look at all this cool shit we're doing.
I mean, there has been a lot of cool shit. It's been awesome to see you guys go to where you're going. And I was wondering, is it because you were doing all those supports and that type of stuff that there was that gap between Newer Song and Fuck You? Or was it just kind of you just wanted to have a break of releasing for a little bit?
As a factor of a lot of things, it was creatively, like we had a bunch of songs, but they just didn't feel like single worthy.
Interesting.
Yeah, we can visit that point in a moment. Money, like we're a new band. I do not have money to be dropping singles every 5 minutes. Like we have to pay people to record and to distribute and do all the thing. And it's like, all of us still work full-time jobs just to like afford. I can barely afford to live in general, and then like anything left over, I'm like funneling into band life. So like a big factor is like money. We don't have any money to record. We still like pay for that all ourselves. We don't have a big fancy giant label to be like, here's all the money. So that's probably the main one. And then just trying to, yeah, I just want to put out things that like feel good. We did have that one, like, Can't Get Enough, that just come out. We've been sitting on that for a while, but yeah, it's just like trying to gather the funds and the, yeah, I don't know, time also flies. We were doing a lot of shows back end of last year. Like, I feel like the last 3-4 months of last year we were just away. So
you've touched on it a few times. Plans upcoming, EP mid-year.
Yes.
Gonna guess there's gonna be a tour on that one. Sorry, what makes a song single worthy, or keeping that back for the EP, or is it like keeping it for maybe you have like a kind of vibe that you want for the EP? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's like the songs that we play and that we have and we play live, they're songs that I've written over the last like 3-4 years, like just quietly in my bedroom, pre-band, pre-doing music. And a lot of it was definitely me, like, trying out different genres and different styles. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. And I think just as a band, we've been working on, like, rewriting them to have, like, a more cohesive sound. Because when I first started playing, we were, like, I was, like, very much folk. Like, I loved folk and everything was very folky. But I really love, like, indie rock music. And that's what I listen to. And it's just, yeah, a lot of it's been taking those songs and taking time to, like, pull them apart and put them back together so that they sound, yeah, like more in the direction that I want to go, and they don't sound like, oh, what the hell? This is like completely different to everything else they've done. So yeah, we have spent a lot of time doing that. And a single that we have coming up, which will be the title track of the EP, which I think has already been announced, so I can say it, Young, Dumb, Immature. That was the first song I ever wrote. And it was very much like 3 chords, very folk boppy, didn't have a chorus, it just kind of chugged along, and we just completely pulled it apart, and it just sounds sick. Like, I'm so it feels really full circle. Yeah, I'm really excited about that one, but I'm just gonna have to wait a little bit.
What's it like having a song that you wrote 3 years ago, before, you know, you're in a band, before you were just writing it just for, because you wanted to, it's going to be the, you know, title track of an EP that's going to go out, you know, and you're hoping it's going to go really well. How the fuck does that feel?
It's pretty surreal. We got the mix back yesterday, and I listened, and I was like driving my car being like, woo. And then I started to get a little emotional being like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, this song has had a journey. Because I wrote it about Fuck You Man. I actually wrote it, invited him out to an open mic, played it, because I just had a point to prove and a message to give. And we've played it at shows and whatever, and it's always been a song that I love, but it didn't quite feel like it was finished. So now to kind of like rework it and have it coming out, and it feels very fitting that it's the title track, because it's kind of how, like, I don't think I'd be doing music. Maybe I would be, but I definitely would be doing it a completely different way if I hadn't written that song. It kind of got the ball rolling. So yeah, I always, like, when we talked about doing an EP, I knew that I wanted it to center around that song, because it just felt right. So I guess everything that's going on to it kind of tells the story around that and fits around that track.
Any other goss you can give me on that EP? I'll take anything.
I don't know. Honestly, there's still like there's a handful of songs that we've recorded. So just trying to, yeah, pick the ones that fit and feel right together. And this one for me it's really important. Like, it's so easy to be like, these ones sound the best, so we'll just do those. But I think for me, there's 3 songs that fit in really well together and they tell a story. And yeah, I'm just kind of, wanted to feel good and feel like important. It's very personal to me, so I also want it to feel like I can leave it, and if we did nothing else ever again, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm proud of this thing. That's cool.
Will these tracks that are on this EP be the last bit of work focused around Fuck You Man?
God, I hope so. Yeah, they should be.
I mean,
we've moved on.
He probably every like 6 months just goes, oh, song about me again. Oh.
I know. I actually did have that thought when Can't Get Enough came out. I'd be like, I was just like, oh, you're probably so cut. There's a nice one and you definitely know it's not about you.
I mean, it's probably a good break for him, and then you're just going to come sucker punch him with another one.
Yeah.
New thing I'm asking at the end of my pods, that a drunken man asked me at Fred again and was like, put this on the pod. I went, yes, that is a good thing that I will put on the pod. Who's an Aussie artist or band or whatever that like you just can't get enough of at the moment? And what is your Aussie song that is like on repeat at the moment that you just can't get enough of?
Both my answers are the same thing.
Fantastic.
Lottie Gallagher. Unreal. She's amazing. She's from Melbourne. She's like 17 and smashing it. And her new song, Grey, is amazing, but her debut song, Adam, is just like, I cannot stop listening to it. I listen to it every day. It's on every playlist I have. It's on at work all the time. It's a song that won't quit. So I love it.
Would you say you can't get enough of it? Oh, sorry.
I made a playlist of a whole bunch of songs. It's on our Spotify. It's called Can't Get Enough of These Bangers, and it's all tracks that I'm absolutely loving right now, but that one's at the tippity top. Alexa, 24, amazing. There's so many. So if you are interested in what I think, there is a little Spotify playlist for you on our page.
Amazing. When's the next time people can see you? Hear you shit talk.
The next time is on Easter Sunday, hometown show on the sunny coast at Soul Bar. On the 31st, we're playing with some other local legends, Nana's Pie, Buttermello. We're headlining, so it'll be fun night. It's my mum's birthday, and she likes to be the loudest person in the room. So it should be a fun night. I might surprise her and bring her up on stage. She's always wanted to play the tambourine on stage. So
that's a pretty cool present.
Yeah, I reckon, and she won't hesitate. She'll be up there in a second, so I don't have to. There will be no awkward pause. She'll be running and pushing people up out of the way.
It's
but that's the next one that we've got announced, and then we've got heaps of stuff coming super soon. So we just have to watch the Instagram because we're actually just.
So that's all that EP, more shows. That'll be all around mid-year. So keep an eye out for Betty Taylor mid-year stuff.
Yeah, I mean back end we've got some cool stuff happening April, May. So
people can have a look for that. So from Betty Taylor, congrats on the new track, ABC News, thank Triple J you. Stuff. Always keen to see you guys do well. And came for the EP that you couldn't give me much of.
Well, it's still a work in progress, but it'll just be a collection of our journey so far, I think.
To keep up to date with all things breaking through, make sure to check out our socials.